Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So especially coming into the holiday season, it can sometimes be tough to know what you can feel good snacking on, especially because sometimes companies will put such garbage ingredients into the snacks that we have. And I hate saying that word, but again, I talk about garbage meaning all of the processed and fake stuff that can kind of make its way into our snack foods. One company that we completely trust hands down is Paleo Valley and their beef sticks and their protein bars that we know have all incredible whole food ingredients that you can trust. If you go right now and check the link in the show notes and use code OPTIMAL, you can get 15% off all of these snacks coming into the holiday season. We know it's important to have things around the house that you can feel good having no matter when you're having them, and you can grab when you're running out of the door quick. So check out the link, use code OPTIMAL for 15% off, and let's head into the episode.
So excited for this next interview because it's one of my favorite people, and I know I have a lot of favorite people, but seriously, this woman is amazing. So we are interviewing Kyza Krianen, and she is just so epic. Right now, go look at her Instagram if you don't already know her, Kyza Fit. It's K-A-I-S-A Fit. You are going to want to see what she does and how incredible she is, but also hear her message. Kyza is a personal trainer. She's a fitness educator and a social media influencer, but she's known for her fun and innovative ways of really getting people to just move. She graduated from the University of Washington, where she was a member of the track and field team. And then she later went on to get her master's in exercise science, sports performance, and injury prevention. As an owner of Kyza Fit, she's developed her own method of movement, which she shares daily with her clients and social media followers worldwide. She really lives and teaches by that motto, that health is a feeling and not a look. We're really going to go into that. She really believes wholeheartedly in her mission to get people around the world up and moving. And I cannot wait for you to hear this interview. Hear her out throughout the entire episode because she drops so many nuggets and personal experiences. What I appreciate about this woman is she's so real. She's so open and she gets vulnerable and she's not afraid to be honest about what it really takes in this journey to continue with movement. So here we go. Kyza, yay! I am so happy to be talking to you right now and honored for your time that you're taking to chat with us. Like, just so honored. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So, I just recently met you actually in Seattle, which yeah. I was so happy that I got to meet you. And it was just a lot of the things that you said on stage were so inspiring about your own journey and what taught you to just live into that own truth of yours and not deal with any of the BS of feeling like you needed to be someone that you weren't. Can you just tell me a little bit about what led you to being able to live so freely into yourself like that?
Well, how much time do you have?
As much as you need.
Stage is yours, girl. Stage is yours.
I think for me, there's been so many different things. I think like freedom in who I am as a woman is one thing. Freedom in, you know, how I feel in my body is one thing. Freedom in what I do for work and how I run my business is one thing. So I think there's a bunch of different avenues that we can touch on. I don't know, Dom, if there was something specifically. And side note, it was awesome to finally meet you. But I don't know if there's something specific that we want to kind of dive into first.
I mean, I think, you know, as we initially just dive into everything, like freedom in your body, because that is what I resonate so deeply with in your message. And where I think it differs from some of the messages that a lot of people are hearing nowadays.
Well, let me just first say freedom in my body has been a serious journey. It also is a journey that's happening on a daily basis. So it's not, I want to just be clear that it's not like I've reached this thing and now it's all gravy and it's, you know, like roses and everything's great. That's not how it is at all. But one of the main things that I dealt with being an athlete and being known for being athletic was also being defined by what my body looked like, both negative and positive. And so I always had this really interesting relationship with my body because most people knew me by the athlete and the girl that was really muscular. And so like from a very young age, that was what, like nothing else was really important. That was what was important. And so I've had a love-hate relationship with my body for a really long time. And when I was younger, and I tell this story a lot, I say, strong is beautiful now. When I was in middle school, strong is beautiful was not a thing. Like, yeah. CrossFit was not around. There were female athletes, but there was no social media. I was not seeing them on magazines. I didn't even have a TV in my house. So I really wasn't seeing female athletes. So when I looked around, I didn't look like any of the other girls or women in my life. And so I felt very, very different at a very young age, but I was also really good at sports. And so I remember in middle school having these conversations with myself about being, you know, down that I looked a certain way, down that I was super muscular and like what for me at that time was looking like the boys, but also really proud that I could keep up with the boys and most of the time beat the boys. And so I had this relationship with my body from a really young age that I started to be proud of what she was doing physically and tried to care less about what she looked like. Now, walking into high school and like that was an ebb and flow relationship for a really long time, but it's one that I've constantly tried to work on. And it's where my saying, I am more than my body came from and my evolution of really respecting my body for what she does for me day in and day out and being less concerned about what she looks like has been, it's like one of my number one things that I work on personally and kind of one of the number one messages that I try to put out there.
I mean, it's everything. And I can resonate a little bit with your story. I mean, I owned in high school that my friends called me the Hulk and that was my nickname and that was cool. But I also remember in junior high when I was still doing PE and I was doing the pull-ups for how many, like, I think it was like the presidential test or whatever we had to do.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of whipping them out because, you know, being a gymnast, I could do some pull-ups. And then people started to make comments and I can hear things. And so I did one more than one of the boys and I got down. Even though I could do more, I felt I all of a sudden started to feel not empowered anymore. Because at first I'm like whipping them out. I'm strong. I'm powerful. I got this. I can beat them. And then it started to change into, you know, oh, now you're doing too much and you're showing off and people are saying things. And I stopped myself. Like, have you found that that is what your experience was like growing up as well? And does that still appear sometimes that I'm too strong? I need to lower myself.
No, I will be honest. I never had Love the like, it. Let me lower myself moment. I was always like, let me kick your ass moment for sure. I also went to a very small private school. I was with the same kids from first or most of them actually from kindergarten to eighth grade. So it was a very different dynamic. High school was where things kind of changed for me. Mm-hmm. But I took it as my own thing to work on. I never tried to dim my light in terms of what I was doing athletically because for me, what I could physically do was kind of, not to sound like depressing, but was like the only thing I was really proud of. Mm. And so for me, I really leaned into that and again, was like still dealing with difficulties in terms of being okay with the way that I looked, but masked that a lot with being really proud with what I was doing physically. So I think mine was just, yeah, a little bit different there.
That's amazing though, that you don't, you know, that wasn't something that like held you up or something that you carried with you. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, first of those presidential tests, which, you know, when I was younger was something that I was looked forward to, but now thinking back on it is something that is so stupid that we do to kind of like rank everybody in your class in the number that you can get, again, rather than teaching kids to be appreciative of what their body's able to do for them, Kaiser, to kind of your point, it's really half-assed backwards when you think about it.
Yeah. And we didn't have the presidential. So because I guess it was a private school. Yeah, we didn't have them and everything. So I went to Waldorf school. It was just a very arts driven school. So they didn't even really care about what you were doing in sports. It was only like in PE class. And when you got into seventh and eighth grade, you did a track meet. And that was the only time that I really got a shine. But it was really like recess and PE class. Other than that, there was no competing. I guess it just never really came up for me.
Yeah, for sure. And I kind of want to talk a little more into some of the things you've been talking about have kind of reflected, you know, being appreciative for what your body can do for you. And, you know, there's all of this talk these days about body positivity. And I saw, you know, one post on your page that kind of mentioned toxic body positivity. And can you talk about how what you're talking about in this appreciation for what your body can do for you versus some of the common or more mainstream messages about body positivity?
Yeah. And first and foremost, I got my ass handed to me when I made that comment. So I want to correct myself.
Ooh.
I am not a fan of current day body positivity, because body positivity movement actually started as Black liberation. And so I just want to put that out there. I was absolutely not dissing that movement. My issue with current day body positivity is that it's been, of course, like most things, taken on now by white women and turned into their own movement. And for me, what it does is it still talks about a female's body based on what she looks like. And so the whole thing now is all sizes are welcome, you know, body inclusivity. And I think that's great, but I still, the focus of the conversation when it comes to women being about women's bodies and what they look like is just so ass backwards to me. Like, I don't understand why we're not talking about what women are doing, you know, who they are, what they're doing in the world, what they're doing at home, in the business, like whatever the amazing things that women are doing. Why do we still talk about their bodies first and foremost? And so that's the kind of gist of what my issue is.
Well, that's also hard, right? Because we're in a social media world where Absolutely. The first thing that you see is someone's body. And
yeah.
So how do we get out of that idea and that mindset of, let me understand who you are and what you're doing and what you're up to, rather than just focusing on what I see?
So I don't think we can when it comes to a collective. Like, we are ran by media, social media, media in general, and sex will always sell. So my goal is to help an individual understand that they are more than their body, because I think that's where the change happens. It's also for me why it's really important to help or to continue to have conversations with movement coaches, because we're the ones that are working one-on-one with the individual. So can we have conversations with them instead of co-signing that they're in the gym and they're working out because, you know, they want to change their body? Can we encourage a positive relationship with their body based on the things that they're doing, you know, the PRs, the performance that they're achieving? Can we have those conversations? So I don't think we can change media. And I don't want to even begin to say that, because we're not going to, but I think you can work on an individual's mindset and belief about themselves. And then as in the training world, like, I think we have a lot of work to do.
100%. I mean, it's going to take a collective. And I think I remember you saying that before too, like, it's not just me, and it's not just focusing so specifically always on the form or the technique or what exercise to do, but it's us as a collective, as trainers, as people who have social followings, to be able to bring this to the individual. And I think, like, I hope that is collectively what we continue to work toward. Can you talk through your journey with seeing past just what you physically look like and focusing more on what you feel like and what you can do and how you're moving? Like, how has that journey transformed for you? And what have you had to do in order to look past the physical?
Yeah, I mean, so I will again just reiterate, it is a constant journey. For me, I think injuries was the starting point for me to really get a grip on having a positive relationship with my body. Because even though up until college, I was working on, you know, appreciating my body and being very grateful for everything that she was doing, I was still trashing her based on the things that I was doing. So I was a college athlete at the time. I did the heptathlon at University of Washington, and overtraining was like what we were all doing. So at that time, I didn't respect her enough to listen to her. And so I graduated college, was super injured. And that's actually the reason why I eventually became a trainer. But it actually, what happened in college is I felt like I'd never reached my potential as an athlete. And so once I graduated college, I eventually found myself in CrossFit. And it was just so, like, For me, CrossFit was this outlet that for some reason I just gravitate. I mean, a lot of us did gravitated towards being able to like finally reach my true potential as an athlete. And then there I was again, ignoring what my body was saying, completely beating her up. Like I was injured left and right in CrossFit. I remember doing one strong woman competition and then I was just basically broken. Coincidentally, and probably just compounding everything, I was also playing rec soccer at the time. And I broke my leg in a soccer game. And it was at that moment where everything just kind of came together. And I remember sitting on the couch and just being like, how did it take a broken leg for me to slow down? And obviously, like, that's what it took. So it was a very hard lesson. But in that moment, I will never forget having a conversation with my body. And I know this sounds a little crazy, but I literally looked at her as something other than me. I looked at her as like my best friend in that moment. And I was sitting on the couch and I was like, listen, whatever you do, if you heal as fast as you possibly can, I will forever listen to you. I will never push you to this point. I will respect what you're saying. Any tweak, anything going on, like you got it. I will rest. I will, you know, relax. And so I think from that moment on, that was a serious flip for me in how I viewed my body, but also really more importantly in how I took care of my body and how I respected my body.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that. And I think that's such a powerful story for everyone to hear, especially someone like yourself. When you see videos now of you on the gram doing all of these insane things.
Or working out with you and seeing all the insane things.
and then feeling all of the insanity over the next few days of the soreness that comes from that. No. And first off, a heptathlete, I'm always impressed at the athleticism of heptathletes, but I think that's so important that you bring that up, you know, the recovery aspect of what's needed. And again, kind of coming around to the crazy things that people see you doing online, I feel like some people will see that from the outside and say like, oh, that's not attainable. This isn't for me. But I love how much you speak into, hey, activity can be anything. The 10 to 15 minutes of doing anything throughout the day that is pushing your body just that little bit. So how do you encourage people who might just be starting?
Well, this is I love this conversation, first of all, because it's why I got into movement. So my saying is just move. It's why I got into movement as a coach. Let's say that. So my saying is just move. And one of the things that I think the fitness industry has done a really poor job at is telling the world and individuals that movement only happens in a gym when you lift weights and you do this specific workout. And so we've gotten really narrow-minded about what fitness means. And so for me, I try to encourage movement. So in whatever way you want to move, I think it's a moment for you to explore a relationship with yourself and with your body, but maybe you never step foot inside of a gym. So movement is dancing, walking, hiking, cycling. Like movement is cleaning your house. There's so many different ways to move. But I think we've just gotten really narrow-minded when it comes to how that happens. And so I first and foremost try to encourage movement, whether that means you start with 5 minutes a day of maybe stretching while you're watching a TV show or going for a walk around the block. It's a starting point. And I think starting is like the hardest thing to do. So I really just try to encourage people to find time to create a habit. And then we go from there. I also say the human body is made to move. And I truly believe that once you start moving, your body will want more of it and you'll be able to find and carve out time within your life and within your day to create more space for movement. But it's honestly just about starting.
With so many people working out from home now, it's tough to know what the best tools are to work out, especially to be able to load yourself. So many people don't have a place for these big, heavy, clunky weights like kettlebells or big barbells to just sit around their house, especially if you live in an apartment. Jen and I lived in an apartment for a long time. One tool that we'd love to be able to use that is so easy to take with you or to store at home is the Koba board, especially if you're looking for ways to really effectively squat and do deadlifts in a way that's going to help you do them correctly. The way the Koba board is formed, it can really help you tip back into those really nice hinge exercises that really help target the glutes. And I swear, I say this every time I use the Koba board, I am so surprised in the morning at how sore I am. I'm somebody who likes to go to the gym and deadlift and squat 300 or more pounds. the bands and the resistance bands on this Kobo board, you can really load up in a way that you can get great resistance, train into those glutes, those squats, those deadlifts and lunges. Jen and I will be putting out videos on our page showing how to use this. You can also check out videos at their website. But if you want to grab a Kobo board coming into the holiday season for yourself or for a loved one, especially if you're looking for a nice, easy implement to use at home, check the link in the show notes and you can use code OPTIMAL to get 15% off your Kobo board. It is a great tool to have around the house. Jen and I love using it. Go check it out and use code OPTIMAL at checkout for 15% off. Let's head back into the episode.
I mean, that's everything. And I think that's the most difficult part for a lot of people is that initial starting. And do you think it kind of scares people to see what you do and be like, oh my gosh, I could never get there? Like, how do you approach that with the level at what you're at and how you're telling people to start just by walking around a block? Or like, it could that be intimidating?
I mean, this is like the biggest predicament that I'm in because so the crazy thing for me is like as an athlete, I'm one thing, which is what you see a lot of on social media. And then as a coach, I'm another. So for me as a coach, when I was coaching in person, my clientele are 50 plus year old women. Like I love coaching in person. I don't do it currently, but that's who I gravitate towards. That's who I speak to. And that's why I've always created my programs for. And that's who I've worked on until I became an online coach. And for me right now, it is difficult, I will say, to continue to put out movement on social media that looks a certain way because it is eye-catching and it gets views. Yet the reality of my mission and my purpose is to get the general pop to move and feel really, really, you know, encouraged and empowered by what they can physically do. So it's something I'm working on a lot. It's something I lose sleep over a lot because I don't want to keep putting out this message that this is what it means. Like, you can only do, you're only a good athlete if you do crazy shit. Like, no, you're an athlete if you have a body. So whatever you want to do is a thing I want to encourage, but it's definitely a difficult journey. It's why I created Just Move the platform and why I created the start level. I'm in these conversations a lot and I know personally it's a struggle that I have and I know it's something I haven't quite figured out because it's what's eye-catching on social media. I mean, Jen, you probably deal with this all the time, but it's like, I know that doesn't encourage like my mom. Maybe it like inspires her a little bit, but the person that can't get to the gym or is, you know, doesn't want to go to the gym or is scared to go to the gym isn't necessarily looking at that and thinking like, oh yeah, that's what I'm going to go do today. So yeah, it's definitely something I'm working on.
Well, and again, I think the same way that you're working on it and trying to create a platform that can kind of fit everyone's journey, which is nearly an impossible task to try and cater to behavior change to everyone. Like, behavior change just isn't sexy. And when we talk about it that way, it you said sex sells and it isn't what sells when we just try to, you know, talk to people about, hey, it's like something 5 to 10 minutes a day that you'll do for 60 to 90 to 100 days to life that will end up making these changes for you. And so I really appreciate that you call it the start level. And it's interesting to me because you could be at the start level, whether you've never seen yourself as somebody who's exercised before, or if you're someone like me, even that was a former athlete myself and quote, fell off the wagon or something and just needed to find a place to start again. Like you're not calling it that, oh, beginner or the easy level. Like it's start. It's just a place you can come and start.
Yeah. And I don't think in the fitness world, we don't have that level. I mean, for me, we don't have that level. And that was something that I realized was a really big issue in terms of people getting into movement. Because we just assume that people getting into movement are already connected to their body, understand what exercises are not in pain. That was a really big thing for me. So the start level, we have a chair in most of our workouts. You learn how to move, like, or the very first workout is actually 100% in a chair. So you start to understand how your body feels in certain movements, how to actually do the movements so that you're feeling then really empowered to take that knowledge into everything else you do. Because as much as movement seems super complex, it all stems from a handful of exercises. And so if people can understand that and get a strong foundation in those, then, you know, potential is whatever they want it to be. But I think we don't meet people where they're at in this industry. And that was a really important thing for me.
That is it. I mean, and that's why I get physical therapists sometimes who get mad at me on the platform or something, because they're like, well, why are you saying that's okay? And I'm like, because I'm meeting them where they're at. This is what people know to be true right now. So I'm not going to completely blow up their entire what they know. I'm going to meet them where they're at. It's not bad. Cool. We can start there. And then let's introduce something else over time. But it's like people neglect that level and that entry point into actually being able to capture someone.
Yeah. I mean, we're an elitist industry, let's be real. Like, and the industry is led by just mainly so many egos who are out there for themselves to prove that they are the smartest, they are the best, rather than caring about the actual individuals. And the thing is, like, there's clearly an issue with our industry because we are bigger than we ever have. And just take like America. America's never been more unhealthy. So there's an issue with our industry and our priorities and what we focus on. And, you know, that's a whole different conversation. But yeah, we need to have a major awakening.
I mean, yeah, 100%. Have you gotten any pushback with how you present information and how you're moving people along?
On my platform, I get pushback in terms of doing stupid things. You know, people, there's always the people that want to criticize, you know, certain movements and this and that. I'm always very careful to say, this is what I'm doing. If you want to move with me, I sell programs. You know what I mean? So there's definitely a difference there. I have not received a lot of negative feedback about the programs and, you know, Just Move and the platforms, because I think we just work really, really hard on being inclusive and having something for everyone. So thankfully right now, we seem to be doing that.
Can you talk a little bit into, because the one thing that I'm kind of speaking into how you say our industry is bigger than it ever has been. And I think that one of the reasons is because we're hella marketers in our industry and people are very good at marketing things like CrossFit or yoga or, you know, different HIIT workouts, whatever it might be. Like it has to be something that you need to spend a lot of money on and pay a lot of money for. Like, what do you talked about these initial workouts being in a chair? Like, I'm wondering, do you have any certain type of workouts? Are they more mobility based? Are they yoga based? Are people getting their heart rates up? Because like you said, you sell programs, but you're trying to make it inclusive. So I'm sure you're not sticking yourself in one of these camps.
Yeah, no, totally. I do like to stick myself in mobility, which Jen and I have definitely that in common. And the reason for me is, first and foremost, I want people to feel good in their body. I want them to feel good, and that could mean get out of pain. I want them to feel good, and that could be really empowered by what their body does. I think movement is a tool to help people feel good about their body and in their body. And so my programs come with that, like, as a foundation. I also really want movement to be fun. I want it to be fun. I want it to be inclusive. I think anybody could nitpick and try to break things down about what I do, but I think I'm a good programmer. I think I'm a good coach. I have my master's in exercise science. I think I know what I'm doing. But at the end of the day, I really want people to enjoy the experience that they have when they come to move with me or anybody on the Just Move platform, because we do have a handful of other coaches. I also, and we said this before, I really want to meet people where they're at. So my whole goal when I was a trainer and I was actually coaching people in person, my goal was I had them for an hour, and no matter how they come in, I want them to walk out feeling way better. So whether they had a really tough day and that just meant we talked a lot and maybe we stretched or whatever we did, I just wanted them to walk out feeling really empowered and better in their body and about their body. And that's what I do with my program. So if I say that something is a start level and it's a strength workout, it's very doable for you. We will increase you through, or you will continue to learn, and eventually you'll go on to other exercises or other programs. But I want to meet people where they're at. I want them to feel very encouraged about what they can do in their body and very empowered by that, because I think that feeling is what will help you come back to movement and will help you put it into your life in a very sustainable way.
Do you have different places for people to start? So say they're like, well, I'm more interested in this mobility stuff, or I'm more interested in strength-based, or, you know, do you have differences like that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we have start level, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. So we have all those levels. And then inside of the platform, we have mobility, we have 30-day challenges. We have, maybe you just like to show up that day and decide what you want to do. Then you can just search a library. But we have everything from yoga, dance, which I am loving right now, Pilates, strength training at home, like strength training. So dumbbells, bands, cardio classes. We have basically everything. We're working to constantly increase that. But any way that somebody wants to move, we want to be able to have that for you, because after all, we are just moved.
Speaking back into your days as somebody who consistently would maybe overtrain and not give the body enough rest and recovery and love, like, I'm sure there are also people who might come into your program and are always trying to do the most.
Yeah.
And are always trying to, oh, yep, I'm definitely the advanced level. I'm going to do every single one of these workouts every day. Like, how do you start to coach people who might be in that place on, hey, here are some things we might want to focus on to make sure that we're allowing our body to recover a little bit?
Yeah, this is such a great question. It's hard because most of the time you have to learn the hard way, and you learn through injuries that your body actually needs time to recover. And the craziest thing, and I say this a lot, but it's 1,000% true. I am performing better now at 35 years old than I was in college at 21 years old. And that is simply because I train smarter and I recover harder. And like, point blank period, I could beat 21-year-old Kaisa in anything she was trying to do right now. So recovery is key. It is everything. And if you don't incorporate that into what you're doing, your body will break down at some point in time. It's just a matter of time. And then you'll learn the lesson that way. So I try to make recovery fun. Like, I have an actual mobility recovery program, but there's a bunch of different ways that you can recover. I personally just love mobility, and I love good sleep and, you know, good hydration and good fuel. But you have to take it down a notch. And especially when you get into your 30s and beyond, you most likely need to take it down a lot more than you actually ramp it up. Like, I train hard 3 times a week and I recover 4 times a week.
And what does that recovery look like? Like, how long are you doing mobility stuff?
30 minutes is about my, like, those are what most of my programs are with mobility, 30 to 40 minutes. I also sometimes will take, like, I did dance yesterday, Sunday fun day, recovery day for me. I did dance, I did a little mobility, and then I did spin. So it's like, it changes all the time. I really approach my recovery days are much more like, okay, Kaisa, how are you feeling today? What do you need? What do you want to do? So they're kind of a lot more on the fly. And then my hard days are in the gym with the trainer. So it depends. Most likely it will be mobility and probably something else, or just like going for a walk or being outside. There's plenty of things that you can do. I also like to say there's what I call active recovery and then restorative recovery. So active recovery happens during the week for me when I still kind of want to get something in. Maybe I want to get my heart rate up or a little bit of a sweat on. So I have a little bit more upbeat recovery, which I call like my mobility cardio recovery. But then I have restorative recovery, which is much calmer and works on breath and just holding postures a lot longer and just like allows me to have a moment.
And how much do you like alter between the two? Because how does someone know which they should be doing? Is it just kind of listening to their body, what they're feeling?
No, that's such a great question. So it depends on what you are actually doing on a daily basis. And I do encourage people, if they're not moving at all, to either start moving or start with some of our, because I have Start Mobility as well, because I just think that so many people who are not moving are actually in pain. And I think that mobility is such an amazing way to help your body get out of pain in a gentle way. And so depending on what your weekly schedule looks like, I try to encourage at least 2 days of recovery, one active, one restorative. But you can also pay attention to how your body feels. Like, restorative for me, if you think about it, it's what you do in the evening. It's like really working on your breath and just allowing your body to calm down. And we really hold poses. And then active is like what you do for a warm up or what you do. Like, for me, active recovery is Wednesdays. And I still want to like feel like I'm doing something. I still want a little sweat on. I want to get my heart rate up. So I do a little bit more upbeat active recovery day.
I also have to say that I'm like obsessed that you've brought up dance a few times already and that this is a part of your platform, because I can't tell you how many times I wake up after like a wedding. I don't know. I'm just a fiend for wedding dances. Like, I would, if people could, if there was a job that people could like pay me to come to their wedding dance and just like hype up the dance floor. I would, don't tell Jen, but I'd probably quit my job for it.
I literally don't even know you that well, and I totally see you as like the wedding hype man. I love it.
But where does that passion come from, or where did it come from to like work dance into your platform?
Well, I think dance is just a really fun thing, and I think movement is really fun. I just have a warped sense. What I think is fun, most people don't think it's fun. Like, I think it's fun to be in the gym and like do crazy shit all the time. And yeah. I started to have a realization, like, not everybody thinks that's fun. What are other things people might think is fun? So I think dance is a really fun, upbeat way to move. I also love a challenge, and I am terrible at dance. And so several years ago, I actually hired a dance coach who actually has a few classes on the platform, because I was like, how can I like not move my body like this? How is this possible? How am I so bad at dancing? And so I hired a coach, and I danced. We did it for like half a year, I think. And so it was just something in my mind where I was like, you can move in all these different ways. I really just want to help people open their minds about what movement means. And dance for me has always been a challenging but positive space. And now it's like people love dancing with Keisha on our platform now. And so it's become something that we definitely will do more of. And continue to do more of, actually.
That's so amazing. I think Dom and I are going to have to go dance with Keisha.
Love it.
Most definitely.
But what I think is really cool too, is that you as a trainer, as someone incredibly smart, you went to get your master's, yet you have your own trainer as well. And not only that, you've taken other trainers and you've learned from other people. Like, why do you have a trainer yourself if you are a trainer?
Yeah, that's a great question. It comes up all the time. One, I like to think that I'm always a student and I'm always learning. I don't think I'll ever feel like I've reached the top of anything. And I think it's really important to keep being humble in that way and continue learning, because I think that's how you evolve and you grow. And so I love surrounding myself by people in the industry. And one way to learn is to actually go through the workouts. I also love having somebody else program and encourage me and push me. And I think that that's been something for the last several years that I've valued. People don't understand, when you're a trainer, you're programming and you're encouraging people 24/7, which I love. But sometimes when it comes to doing my own stuff, I just don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to write another program. I don't want to have to sit there and encourage myself. And being around other people like really just pulls out the best in me. There's certain people that like to work out by themselves. I like being in community. Like, that's something that's so important for me about movement, is I'm like not only moving my mind, but I'm moving myself in community around other like-minded people is super important to me. So there's a bunch of reasons why I have a trainer, but those are just a few.
Well, I think that's a really good thing for people to also realize though, because and a reason why people should get on a platform, should do something. I mean, community, accountability, and showing up for something rather than having to rely on yourself. Like, that's a place I think a lot of people get stuck. Where do I start? Because I don't know what to do. I don't have the money for a trainer. I don't own a gym membership. Like, there's so many reasons why people don't just start. They don't just go. And they don't follow through on something because they haven't committed either time or money or showing up to something. Like, you are also committing to a trainer. I'm going to show up for you. You know, like, and I think that is such a huge piece, is the accountability.
Yeah. And I think one of the really big things is we live in a culture that says tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow.
Yes.
And we also are not very real with ourselves. I think one of the biggest things is being very, very real with who you are as a human being. Like, you've got to have that heart to heart conversation with yourself. And you have to know that if you're signing up for something, if you're doing something, but you're the type of person that doesn't show up unless somebody else tells you to be there, or expects you to be there, then you have to set yourself up for success. You have to know that, and you have to do something differently, whether you do online programming with a buddy or you join a challenge. Like, you've got to set yourself up for success. But I think we live in a society that is literally like, I'll get to that. I'm too busy. I'll get to that. But you can't be too busy for your health. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to get to the point where your body is knocking at the door because you're not taking care of it and it's too late. So like, what can you do now to start incorporating it? One of the biggest things that I say is create a habit and stick with it. Mm-hmm. Literally 5 minutes is better than nothing at all. Mm-hmm. So if you carve out 5 minutes right before your lunch break or after your lunch break or in the evening to do something, most of the time I would say to clients just getting started, I'm like, try to go for a little mini walk, try to do a little mini stretch. If you get to the point sometime during your day and you hit that 5 minutes and you can't do something, just take a minute to breathe. Like, still keep that space in your daily schedule, still keep that habit, but just do something different if you need to adjust it. But you got to start somewhere, and anything is better than nothing at all.
I think that's so important. And, you know, right there, you listed a few things that would help people stay consistent. And I think that is one of the toughest things, is that resilient nature it takes to just continue to come back, even if you feel like you missed a day, or even if you feel like you didn't quite do what you may have committed to yourself to do. So do you have any other little pointers on how people can stay consistent?
Yeah, I mean, and listen, let me just first and foremost say, I think most people look at like us on social media, and I'm sure, Jen, I'll just talk for myself, but I have massive ebb and flows as well. Like, one thing this past year or the past 2 years now with the pandemic, like, we've all, like, you also have to just respect the season, like the time in life, like what is going on in your life. And you have to be like really respectful and gentle with yourself. So for me, I think being consistent also has to do with being real. And for me, especially in 2020, when everything shut down and everything was online, and I got really, really busy, which was a positive, but it was also, I had no time for myself. And so in those moments, instead of being really down on myself and comparing myself to 2019 Kaisen, saying I'm not doing any of the stuff I was doing back then, and I'm not as in shape or all these other things, I just had to be very real. Like, this is a moment where business is crazy and it needs a lot of my attention and it deserves that. And I've worked my entire life to get to this moment. So like, allow that to be, and then cut yourself some slack that, yeah, you're not in the gym for 2 hours a day, Kaisa, and that's just the way that it is. And that is still kind of what's happening right now. So I think being very real with yourself and being gentle to yourself is important. But also not coming up with excuses. Like, there's a fine line when you know that you're lying to yourself, or you're like making excuses, or you're being gentle on yourself. And so I think I always try to encourage people to look at their life as a pie. The pie can't get any bigger, but you can slice it differently. So how much of your time right now is taken up by things that maybe don't need it? Social media, for example. Log off of social media for a day and look at how much time opens up. So I think there's things in life that are unnecessary distractions, where you could insert something a lot more positive for yourself. And then if you're not doing that, then that's just, you got to have a very real conversation with yourself about why.
And have you had to have those really real conversations with yourself throughout the past 2 years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. I'm somebody, okay, well, we're just going to get very real. I love to work really, really hard. And I love to party really hard. Like, I like to travel. I like to party. Like, that has been my life for a long time. But when I'm out and about and I'm traveling, I'm also escaping a lot of other things. And so for me, I use partying and alcohol and being out and about as a distraction. And sometimes it's positive and it's fun and you're kicking it. But sometimes also that distraction takes away from some other things that I should be focusing on. So a very easy cleanup for me is to not drink and not go out and not party for a month or however long I need that. I just recently did it for 5 weeks, and it helps clarify where I'm at in life and what I'm doing and where my value systems are. And so for me, it's a distraction, and it's not bad. I'm not saying it's bad. Like, I go back to partying and traveling and this and that, and I'll do whatever. But for me, it is a very real moment that I have to have with myself, because all the excuses can start lining up and adding up. And so then I just clear out all the distractions. I get back to the things that are really, really important to me, my goals, the things that I want to achieve, my family, my friends, and then I fit it back in. But like, that's how life goes. And yep. You're never going to get to a moment where you have it all figured out, because I've gotten to those moments where, oh, I hit a goal, or, oh, I wanted to do this thing, or I wanted to achieve this in business. And then you achieve it and something else is falling apart. Like, that's just the way life is. So it's about the tools that you have to take care of yourself, to get real with yourself, to get yourself back on track, back on the path, and then going from there. And those adjustments happen all the time for me.
So important. I mean, that That is the reality of consistency. Consistency isn't doing the same thing every single day and being quote unquote what you think is supposed to be perfect. Like it is, it is grace along the journey. It is the letting go of expectation and choosing to start again and start again and start again. And I like that is everything. And especially after the last year, like myself as well, like I went through lulls where I was just like, oh wow, I'm drinking a lot more and I'm not moving as much as I used to. And what gets to change and how does that look?
I think the power too, and what you just said with like that ability to check in with yourself, the consistency of checking in with yourself, or just saying, hey, I'm going to eliminate something for even if it's a day, like the social media, like you said, or a month, like, hey, I'm just going to not drink for this next month. And it really helps you come back around to, okay, what purpose was this playing in my life at this point? Yeah. And where do I think it really should fit in? Or where do I think it is a positive thing in my life rather than something that detracts? So I really like what you just brought up there.
Yeah. And I think that it changes all the time. Like I just took a week off of social media. Like, and because I'm literally, there's so many other things going on in my life and in my personal life that I just literally, it was pushing me over the limit. Like you have to have a relationship with yourself and for me to know that you're over that limit or that something's going on. And for me, that's why I think movement is so important. I think movement is one of those tools that helps you connect with yourself, helps you stay connected to yourself, and to help be able to understand what's happening before something major happens. Like that's really, I pride myself in listening to my body now and knowing what's happening and adjusting it before something major happens. And I go to some deep, dark place that I've been many, many times before. And so I think that's where, again, like I'm such a believer in movement because I think it's such an incredibly powerful tool that we just sum up to like, why don't you get people to move to lose weight? And that's why I get so angry about like where the fitness world is at and like how we use movement. I just like, that's not the point.
So much good in here, Kaiza. Like you can feel why you're doing what you do and why so many people get help from it as well. And it's so beautiful to witness too. And I'm so honored to be a person who knows you along this journey too and has seen it continue to evolve and to grow. And I just hope it continues for you because it's such a powerful message that you're allowing people in to be able to experience. So thank you.
Thank you, Jen. God, I'm glad we're not on video right now because Jesus, God, I'm crying. Thank you. And I appreciate you. I think it's like, one thing for me is this industry is very isolating because so many people feel like they're in competition with each other. And I just like have always appreciated the dynamic and the relationship that you and I have, because technically anybody could say we're both in, you know, this world, we're in competition, and I've never felt that from you. And I appreciate that because I think there's like so much room for all of us here. And I always appreciate our relationship and our dynamic and the things that you're doing in this world. And you too, Dom. I just haven't known you as long.
I appreciate that big time. And I'm big on how people feel. And when you bring up competition, like I really think that we're the three of us on the same side of the competition against a really big Goliath in the fitness industry that is not doing things for the same reason and is not as genuine and real a human as you are, Kaiza. And so really, really appreciate having you on and all the work you're doing. And we're doing together kind of in parallel in this industry.
Thank you. No, I'm so grateful. And I think at the end of the day, I think I call them general pop, the consumer, whatever you want to call them, the team. People are getting smarter and smarter. And so it's less about focusing on like Goliath. It's less about focusing on that negative. And it's more about just continuing to do your damn thing. Yes. And
no doubt.
You know, that energy, like as corny as it might sound, like that energy going out into the world, people gravitate towards that. And so I think it's less about, you know, shitting on the things that we don't disagree with, even though, I mean, they're always going to be there, and just be doing more and more of what we are about and who, you know, what we do stand for. And I think you guys are doing that brilliantly. And I think there's so many people that are doing it in the industry. And I think, I don't know, I think there's definitely change happening and I think there's more to come and I'm really excited about it.
100%.
Amen.
So everyone go check out Just Move. I mean, anywhere, right? Justmove.com, Instagram,
Yep.
You've made this platform incredible, so easy to follow. I remember when you first showed me the platform and how it all works together. It is epic what you're creating.
Thank you.
And I know it's still growing, and I'm excited for people to be able to get in an experience and us to go in and dance.
Yeah.
I love it.
So thank you. Thank you, Kaiza. So excited to see where this continues to grow and just watch it happen.
Thank you so much for having me. And again, I so appreciate you, Jen, Dom and Jen. But Jen, I just appreciate everything that you do in this industry and just who you are as a woman. And what? It's been like 6+ years.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Cheers to many more.
So grateful that we got that interview with Kaiza. Just such a powerhouse in the space of movement, but also the space of appreciating what your body is able to do for you. If you have any questions, any comments for us, please DM us or go leave a rating and review. Subscribe, pass this podcast on to other people, because the more you do that, the more this incredible information is going to be able to get out to more individuals that need it. And of course, we have tons more PT Pearls and interviews coming at you. So we'll see you next time.